You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You're the horse whistler.
There's a new vigilante in New York City.
On the mean streets of the mean city, there are horses. Some of them run unbridled. Some of them are abused. Then you must steer clear of the horse whistler.
Now you blow the whistle.
Who are you?
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I'm the horse whistler.
On 98.7. ESPN.
Final hour of the show on this Wednesday morning. Yeah, we've gone off the rails a little bit, as you would expect. Dan and Rick, DNR, 98.7 ESPN. We got RJ. We got Ray, the horse whistler. Everybody is Ray. Did you send out a picture of said horse whistle?
You are not getting off of this, are you?
But it's a great idea. Rick, shouldn't he like share it with the people? Like the actual prop,
show
the horse
account
whistle?
Has tweeted the whistle.
Nice. Very nice. Rick has no say in the matter at all.
No, I have none.
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 It doesn't impact you one way or the other.
Not one way or another.
We got Sim coming up in about 15 minutes or so. We'll do our three stars, but we're talking some football here with the Giants, the quarterback situation, and specifically, J.J. McCarthy is this name that he's probably flying up the draft board more so than anybody in this draft, and it just so happens that he's a quarterback. Adam Schefter, our good buddy, on ESPN Radio, was asked said question about J.J. McCarthy.
I think top five is realistic right now, and let's see how high it does go. But top five sounds like it's realistic, increasingly realistic. You know, whether or not that fully happens, let's see how the next month plays out.
Right now, a month from the draft, is he going in the top five? Gun to your head.
Yes. I think the prevailing thought is from from people that just watch college football, that aren't in that don't run these NFL circles and the scouting and everything else, are surprised from what they've seen from J.J. McCarthy or what he was asked to do, that he's, that he's being, talked about as a top five pick. But, I mean, we talked to Renan yesterday. People he talked to think that, you heard now, Jim Harbaugh saying it is different than hearing it from other people because Jim Harbaugh was his coach.
But how much weight does that carry? I was going to bring that up. You beat me to it.
I think it should carry some weight. I mean, it would be a phone call I made. If I was Minnesota or if I was the Giants or if I was, Denver, I would pick up the phone and see what Jim Harbaugh had to say about the kid.
Because he's a guy, whether you like him or not, he played in the league, so he's played the position, knows something about it. Wasn't a bad quarterback. He was a good quarterback. Coached the guy in college, won on both levels as a coach in the NFL and collegiately. So if he's going to sit there and talk a guy up, yes, I understand that there's kind of a conflict of interest there, but I would kind of put a little stock into what he's saying because after all, remember, Jim Harbaugh was a guy, and it kind of flies under the radar now. He once saved Alex Smith's career, and Alex Smith was in the conversation of a quarterback bust. First overall, remember, they decided to take him over Aaron Rodgers, and he saved Alex, helped turn around Alex Smith's career.
Right, and had a lot of success with Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, it's funny, though. I was reading this this morning as I was getting ready for the show that is Jim Harbaugh just smart enough to do this on purpose so it goes four quarterbacks in a row and he sits there and gets Marvin Harrison Jr. with the fifth pick.
Yeah, because that's the guy he really wants.
Yeah, right. Take J.J. McCarthy. He's the best. You'll love him. So he goes at four, and then they have their choice of receivers at five.
That's not bad. You know what? That's actually kind of genius, as a matter of fact, because he doesn't need a quarterback. It's funny. Chargers don't have much right now on offense. They got a left tackle. They got a quarterback. But everything else, they could probably use some reinforcements because he gutted that whole team.
Yeah, they got no Keenan Allen, no Mike Williams.
No Austin Eckler.
Justin Herbert can't be happy that there's no Keenan Allen.
No Gerald Everett. Gone.
Yeah. And they're gonna run the football though.
All right,
they're
going
to run it.
Let me give it's going to be ground and pound. Gus Edwards, the Gus Bus. So let me give you some early over-unders NFC East win totals here from Vegas.
Okay.
Right now, who do you think is the betting favorite to win the division? Basically, the highest over-under number here.
Right now, I will say, the Cowboys.
Ooh, you'd be incorrect.
Eagles, huh?
That's right. Slight. Throw a number out there. What do you think?
Throw a number out there. I will say the Eagles are at 10.5.
Correct.
Yes.
Damn, he's smart.
So what are the Cowboys, at 10?
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, he's smart. Gosh. It's like I'm sitting here talking to Shohei Ohtani, for crying out loud.
So no one's putting much stock into the fact that you lost some leadership in that locker room, and then on top of that, I mean, you heard stories that the reason why it didn't work and fell apart was because Big Dom wasn't on the sideline. That doesn't concern anybody.
I mean, if that's what you're going to hang your hat on, congrats with that. Third, who do you think they have in third place?
Third, I'm hoping it's the Giants.
And that's incorrect.
They got Washington?
That's correct.
Oh, my goodness.
You want to throw a number out there?
Washington, I'll say 7.
Close. And
seven,
a half.
7.5.
Seven. Okay, so now we know, obviously, process of elimination. Giants, they have in fourth. How far back behind Washington do you think they are?
So Washington was 7.5?
Correct.
Say Giants 6.5.
Correct. Look at this. I can't see. Am I looking at Javonte Porter? Is that what I'm looking at right now, or is that Rick DiPietro?
Well, I'd be
like
gone
Rick.
Already. If I was Javonte Porter, I would already pull
That's
out
right,
of
this. That's right, you would have left. My head hurts. I'm gone.
I would have left like 7:15. RJ got some kind of headache.
Kids, don't gamble. It'll only get you into trouble. Let's say hi to Nick in Woodbridge up next here on 98.7. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Nick?
I think the quarterback conversation for the Giants is interesting because I think, like, one, you know, the scenario you guys posed before was, well, if you let him sit on the bench, if you draft a quarterback, then let him sit and learn for the year. It's going to help him. I just think that there's going to be more pressure given the injury history with Daniel Jones. And I know you brought in Drew Locke as a backup, but I feel like if you draft a quarterback in the top 10 and your starter goes down, you're immediately going to want to just plug that guy in. And I think Dable's smart enough to know that that probably isn't the right approach. But I have very little confidence in Daniel Jones from an injury standpoint. Like, I think if he had weapons, you don't know, with an offensive line, maybe he'd be better. But I'm interested to see. I'm not too high on J.J. McCarthy, so I want to see what happens. But I don't know. I'm curious your thoughts. Like, do you think that would happen? If he goes down, is there going to be that added pressure to throw him into the fire?
Perhaps. And look, I don't know why you wouldn't think that you have confidence in Daniel Jones staying healthy. You mean the two neck injuries don't do it for you?
The neck is the scariest part.
It completely.
Yeah, and just how he plays and the amount. He takes shots, man. He takes big shots. And that's the other thing. I mean, he hasn't really, I think this year was supposed to be kind of that, all right, it's time for him to take that next step. Year one was, let's eliminate the turnovers, which he did. Let's stay healthy, which he did. And now this, you know, the following year was going to be, okay, we're bringing in Darren Waller. We're going to add some pieces around you. Let's try to add like this more explosive element to our offense. And I understand there were a bunch of injuries. Like the fact that Andrew Thomas gets hurt in week one, that's a devastating loss. Saquon ends up getting banged up and what was like, it was pretty much a meaningless play, but he ends up getting hurt. But, and listen, people can disagree with this. I watched every snap of every Giants game, every single snap. And when Daniel Jones was healthy, I had a hard time recognizing whether or not Darren Waller was on the field, if Jalen Hyatt was on the field. Like, they didn't. It's like, where are these guys? And then all of a sudden, Tyrod Taylor takes over the offense, and you started seeing Jalen Hyatt involved, deep shots down the field. Darren Waller was more involved. So you can make whatever excuse that you want to make. It's the health stuff. And on top of that, this team is not ready, talent-wise, to make sense to be paying your quarterback $40 million.
They're not there, no.
No, it makes no sense. It's wasted money. There's no return on that investment. Right? Like, and he's not at that level where he's going to make up for the deficiencies around him.
Don't you think, and I know this almost sounds like blasphemous to even make this accusation, because you never want to punt on going to the playoffs, and everybody would want to welcome it. But don't you think what happened to the Giants 2 years ago, looking at it moving down the road, almost set them back?
Yep,
potentially. 100%.
100%.
And you wouldn't think that.
It was a blessing and a curse.
Winning a playoff game would actually have a negative impact on your program moving forward, because if the Giants missed the playoffs that year, Daniel Jones is probably already off this team, right? And if he doesn't have the season that he had and helping them win, he's someplace else.
There is no way. There is no way. And you can he can argue it. Fans can argue it. John Mara is involved in a lot of these big-time, high-level decisions, right? And you got to really sell him on the decisions that you're going to make. He was pissed that Saquon left, but at the end of it, he believes in what Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are doing. There is no chance in hell, knowing what we know about how much John Mara likes Daniel Jones and appreciates the fact, you know, all the stuff that Daniel Jones brings to the table, that he would have ever let Joe Shane and Brian Daboll walk away from Daniel Jones after winning that role playoff game. Zero chance. And I think the compromise was, yeah, we'll bring him back, but we're going to structure the deal this way where in 2 years we can walk away if we want. I think that ended up being the compromise between Shane and ownership. But you're right. Like, RJ brings it up all the time. As a guy, you know, he's not a Bills fan, but he's got buddies that are diehard Bills fans. They went through the same thing with Tyrod Taylor. And they at the end of it, like, this is not good enough. Right? They end up getting to the playoffs, but they're like, this team is not good enough. We need a quarterback. So they ended up taking a step back to take a step forward. So they ended up drafting Josh Allen, and then, you know, eventually now they're here. Yeah, it fast forwarded. Listen, that year was supposed to be, hey, we're in salary. Joe Shane was telling us,
yep,
we're in salary cap hell. This thing's a mess, and we're going to use this year to kind of evaluate where we're at, and then we'll make decisions moving forward. And give them credit, man. They found a way to end up not only making the playoffs, but winning a road playoff game, and that definitely fast forwarded. Sped up what they were trying to do here.
Remember that Buffalo-Jacksonville playoff game, the wild card game with Tyrod Taylor? Like, neither team could do anything offense. It was, like, painful to watch. Painful to watch. And it made it pretty evident that, hey, you know, we got to find a new quarterback. And ultimately they did, and they hit the jackpot there with Josh Allen. That, you know, Rick brings up a good point. RJ, I meant to ask you this. I don't even know if we've had this conversation before. How did you not become a Bills fan?
There's no good reason. I probably should be a Bills fan, if I'm being honest. They have training camp in Rochester. A lot of season ticket holders in Rochester.
That's St. John, right? St. John College?
Fisher. Yeah,
St. John Fisher.
Nice job. I don't want to confuse it with the St. John's.
No.
But yeah, I should be a Bills fan. No good reason, if I'm being totally honest. Just didn't pull me that way.
But and so what year are we talking? I'm trying to think. Like, so what year was that with like the Niners when you first started to like get into it?
Early to mid-90s.
Okay, so when they were at, you know, still at the peak of their powers.
Yeah.
Steve Young and company.
Yeah, I mean, in 94, I was 4 years old.
Oh, so you don't remember that one,
no.
Right?
See, people like to hold that over my head.
Do you remember Garrison Hurst week one against the Jets in 1998 in overtime? 96-yard touchdown run.
I do remember Garrison Hurst. Yeah. I mean, that year, that should have been a special year.
Yeah, and, well, you had the win over the Packers. You ended Reggie White's career.
But yeah, if I'm being honest, I should be a Bills fan. Just slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, but you're a Sabres fan, so I mean, you guess.
Yeah, I really got the good end of that one.
I meant to text you. Who was the guy they just hired as like a chief, but COO or CEO or something like that? Or
I forget his name, but he actually went to Brockport where I went to school.
See, and that's what I was going to say. Like, this is now the sign, the dawn of a new era. Like, things are going to turn for them.
You think so?
Yeah, I know so.
Pete Guelli. Yeah, me and him are very close.
Is it Guelli or Jewelly or? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
It's a great question.
Well, Gahuli was that was the whole Tonya Harding situation.
Jeff, that was Galuli.
Yeah.
Crowbar, right?
You're also talking about a franchise that hired a soccer coach.
Yeah.
As their head coach.
That's right.
Yeah. That worked that well.
Working in the EPL?
Yep.
That's good.
Who was the soccer coach?
Ralph Kruger.
Right to the NHL.
Ralph Kruger was a soccer coach?
He was working in the front office of an EPL team.
Oh, my God.
These are things people care about.
Woo! Madrid in the Bronx up next. Madrid, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm good, good. How you guys doing?
Excellent. What's going on?
I just wanted to talk about this Giants situation, right? I do not want the Giants to get a quarterback. I want them to go out and do the right thing for once, buy Daniel Jones, and go grab Neighbors or Harrison if he's available. Why, you may ask? One, he's never had a chance to develop. You answer one question for me. What quarterback in this league currently or in history have been successful without an O-line or without any weapons on the outside. You either have to have one or the other. You cannot not have both. This kid hasn't had this throughout his career. You finally have a chance. You got a couple of O-line that you picked. You got to pick an offensive lineman in the offseason. You finally have a chance to maybe get that alpha wide receiver to go along with that. And we've seen what the kid could do with somewhat decent protection. We wanted to run out Eli Manning before with his interception woes. The whole fan base wanted to run him out of town.
Phil Madrid, explain to me what we actually saw. Madrid, I hate to interrupt you, but tell me exactly what did we see. Explain that to me.
Well, we're just gonna dismiss the playoff run.
The 15 passing touchdowns. You should be paying somebody
that doesn't work in 2024.
Right, but okay. So we're just gonna dismiss even the rushing attempts, rushing touchdowns.
No one's dismissing that.
He took you to Minnesota.
No one's dismissing that. Madrid, no one's dismissing that. What we're saying is, and now, as you know, okay, let's go from the 15 passing touchdowns and the seven rushing touchdowns to, okay, now this, you know, in this era of football, we need to find a way to be more explosive offensively, to be, you know, a team that can move the ball down the field. And he got hurt, which is something that he's dealt with, getting hurt. You're paying him. The money has to be taken into account in this, too.
Of course it does.
He's not getting cheaper. Daniel Jones is not going to get cheaper.
No.
Right? So, I mean, this is can you justify paying him that much money? No. The answer is no.
I mean, look at what a guy like Kirk Cousins got just now from the Atlanta Falcons. Right, that was the richest contract for a quarterback this offseason, right? As far as like guys changing teams, and I mean, he was really the biggest name free agent.
Yep.
Which, look, the Falcons are going to be called out once the season rolls around, because remember, that same type of money that they gave Kirk Cousins last offseason, you could have had Lamar Jackson probably for similar money, and they decided to not even pursue it. So if this doesn't pop for them, well, they're going to have some explaining to do, but that's not our problem here. Look, he makes the point. We also have said that the Giants have not done him any favors. John Mara has said that, too. They've done everything they could to screw him up. How many coaches, moving parts on the offensive line, no legitimate game-breaking weapons. So those are all valid points, but unfortunately, like, that happens a lot in the NFL. You know, sometimes guys are put in positions to fail. And, you know, would it be better someplace else? Maybe. But one thing I do know is that I don't think Daniel Jones is ever going to be one of those special quarterbacks to where he can elevate those around him, despite maybe those other things that aren't up to snuff. Like, remember Andrew Luck, when he came in with the Colts, that offensive line was bad. He got absolutely murdered his first couple of years, but yet he still put up numbers and he still won games because he's just a better quarterback than Daniel Jones.
Right. This isn't, I mean, we keep saying, kid, this is year six. He's going into year six. I
right. Mean, are you not young anymore?
Right. Well, you got a team in your own division that's talking about moving off a quarterback that was getting MVP votes this last season. Because can they justify paying him the amount of money that he needs to be paid? Like, are they getting the payoff from that? Like, Dallas may move off of freaking Dak Prescott, who's a much better quarterback than Daniel Jones. Listen, I like Daniel Jones. I like everything about Daniel Jones, but I don't think the production is there, the health isn't there to justify paying as much money as you have to pay him. On top of that, where the Giants are at as a franchise, the Giants aren't ready to win yet. So why would you pay your quarterback that much money if you're not ready to win yet? It makes no sense.
They're not on the same timeline.
Right.
And that's what right. Some fans don't want to accept, that they're not on the same timeline. And you even said it, like, they're in a rebuilding mode right now, which they are. And that's why that playoff run a couple of years ago fooled people. But hopefully it didn't fool the decision makers, because that's really the only thing that matters. If they make the right decisions, then this program is going to continue to go on the right course as far as rebuilding.
Well, I think that's why they structured the deal the way they structured it, is that if in the next 2 years he can prove to us that he's at that level now where he can elevate the people around him, then, yeah, we'll continue, and he can stay healthy, we'll continue to roll with Daniel Jones. But if he proves he can't, then we got to reset that money. Because there's no sense of paying a quarterback that much money if you're not going to get the wins to back that up. That, like, the progression of that position is supposed to be, like, with the, when you reset the money is, okay, we bring the rookie kid in, and we take advantage of the rookie pay scale, and by the time we actually have to pay him the going rate for a quarterback, he's good enough that he can elevate, you know, the different, all the weaknesses we'll have because we're paying him so much money, he can make up for those weaknesses because he's that good. Do you think Daniel Jones is at that level?
No. And 6 years in, I haven't seen enough to... And by the way, with two neck injuries, where the next one could really finish him off, like, why am I going to sit here and be confident that it will?
I don't think you can, especially if it was your job that was on the line.
There's no way you can. All right, RJ, let's do a little sim.
Now.
See ya!
Bang! Touchdown!
Rebound score!
The sh** you missed.
Oh, yes, lots of bleep that you missed. What a game last night, Bucks and Lakers. No LeBron, double overtime. Anthony Davis picks up the slack. 34-23, 52 minutes played, not bad. Austin Reeves at 29. Lakers up to 9th in the West with the win. Reason that's relevant, though, to Knicks fans is that the old Knicks are reeling in the Bucks very slowly. 2.5 back of Milwaukee for 2nd in the East, 11 games to go. Knicks are a half game back of Cleveland. And I know what you're thinking. Do they play Cleveland anymore this year? They do not. They do have one more game against the Bucks on April 7th in Milwaukee. So,
and how much is Milwaukee actually going to try to win that game, right?
Speaking of trying to win games, you know who's probably not going to try to win tonight's game? The Toronto Raptors.
No.
When last seen, they were down 4 starters and a player that was betting on his own over-unders. So, a lot of problems there north of the border. By the way, that game tonight, 7:30, tip-off, 7 o'clock pregame. And there'll be a lot of flavor from this show involved in that broadcast. So be sure to listen. Adam Fox scores 36 seconds into overtime. Rangers' first team in the NHL to clinch a playoff berth. Congratulations, 6-5 win over the Flyers. Wild third period. This is the third straight year in the playoffs for the Rangers. And the first time since Jaromir Jagr, a New York Ranger, has 100 or more points.
Isn't that crazy?
Almost 20 years ago.
It's crazy.
A little bit, yeah.
And he was great that year. I mean, people forget. And he got hurt, unfortunately, for that playoff series, but he was so good that season. He was a Hart Trophy finalist. He was great.
I know. I'm aware of that.
Oh, you played?
He was a humongous problem.
Was he a problem for you?
Big problem.
I'm sorry.
I think he scored quite a few goals against me.
He's a problem for most people.
Did you guys make the playoffs that year, or was that the next year that all three locals made it?
What year?
Right out of the lockout.
I think it was 05.
06. 06, I think we made the playoffs, didn't we?
05, 06.
When you played 06. Buffalo?
Yeah,
we lost to Buffalo.
I'm sorry.
So that Buffalo's was all three locals.
Buffalo's team was pretty good that year.
Oh, they were very good.
I think I was just coming back from a concussion, though, in that series.
They were in the conference finals that year.
Yep.
They lost to Carolina.
Delay game over the glass. That was the first year of that rule, where if you dump the puck, doesn't hit a player, the glass goes out 2 minutes.
That's right. You did have a concussion.
Carolina, yeah. Well, the recall. The timing on the recall.
No, I remember it now. That was Teddy Nolan, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ted Nolan.
How were the symptoms, by the way?
Oh, boy.
The concussion symptoms.
Now?
No, then. Well, yeah, sure. If you want to say now, but then, yeah.
I think I'm telling you, I'm still dealing with, it wasn't good. No, it wasn't good.
How did you get the concussion?
It's 06. I don't know how I got that concussion. I've had so many. I think I've had like eight or 10 on record.
Damn.
Troubling.
Not good for the long-term memory.
No, definitely not.
But you're keeping the brain active right now, and that's positive.
I guess so, yeah. That's
stimulation of neurons.
Yeah.
Horse whistler.
Yeah, that'll stimulate the brain.
Austin Matthews got 59 goals.
Who's that?
The Leafs lose to the Devils, who are playing pretty good hockey lately, 6-3.
Jack Hughes.
Too little, too late, but Devils look pretty good. Really cool moment for the Doan family. Josh Doan scores 2 goals, his NHL debut with the Coyotes in Mullet Arena. They beat the Blue Jackets 6-2. Also cool, reversed his dad's 19-91. I thought that was pretty neat.
By the way, speaking of father-sons with the hockey, Owen Tippett scored last night for the Flyers. Looks nothing like Dave Tippett. Nothing.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
What are you trying to say?
Owen Tippett looks like Carrot Top compared to Dave
Tippett.
So you
think it may not be... So what you're saying is that it may not be his real son.
I mean, you broke news yesterday. You have more today?
No, I don't.
Owen Tippett's Carrot Top's son? Is that what you're saying?
It sounds like
it. No, I'm saying he looks nothing like Dave Tippett.
Huh. So you're making an insinuation.
RJ, throw that out of the show account. Breaking news from Dan Grosso.
Dave Tippett's wife.
Well, we're going to make
wasn't
it
very, Vegas.
We're going
she
to make
wasn't
it,
Vegas.
We're going to make it very clear that that's from Dan Grasso and Dan Grasso only.
Oh boy!
What did I say? There's no resemblance. That's all I'm saying. One guy's got dark hair. The other guy looks like Carrot Top. Her son looks like Carrot Top.
Right. So you're saying that he made his carrot disappear? Is what you're saying?
Carrots are good for you. Helps your vision.
Oh God!
Love carrots.
NFL kickoff rules change, and the Falcons bring back Cordell Patterson to your deal worth $6 million. He's got 9 career kick return touchdowns. That's the most all time. Tre'Davious White, corner, signing with the Rams. I like the signing. 1 year, $8.5 million. Could be worth up to 10. Trade deadline in the NFL, moving back to after week 9, starting this upcoming season.
I like that, by the way. We haven't talked about that. I like that.
I do, too. Dave, not going to like this. Brazil, well, no problem with this. Brazil hosting the first ever regular season game on their grounds. He will not like this. Will air only on Peacock.
Oh, yeah. No.
Amazon, by the way, getting a wild card game.
By the way, did you see, I think this was last week this came out with the Peacock.
All of a sudden I'm going to have Peacock all over the place.
You're going to have Peacock. I think they've held on to something like 65% of the subscribers that signed up just for the playoff game.
Wow.
Well, that's not bad.
Well, at the hope, either you forget to cancel it or you
and
find
you get Amazon Prime, like the
you
the
find
shipping.
A show.
So
it's a double?
I think so. If you get
Peacock
Amazon
and Prime Video, they're
oh, no. You said Peacock. I thought you said Prime.
Yeah, it's a Peacock.
No, listen.
What you're saying, I don't think is out of the realm of possibility in the future.
Peacock is NBC, right?
Yes.
Peacock's NBC.
What is it, $5 a month? Six?
I think six, $5.99.
Six.
And if you cancel, yeah, then they lock you in if you don't.
Another streaming service for you sign up for Max, HBO, Hard Knocks, the in-season edition. Going to be an entire division now.
Wow. Really?
Not just one team.
I don't know if that'll work.
Well, that's the way they're leaning.
Try something new.
Tom Brady's still trying to purchase, by the way, a small portion of the Raiders going through that process. John Calipari officially returning to Kentucky for his 16th season. This may sound stupid if you don't follow, but that's up in the air.
$33 million buyout had a lot to do with
well,
that.
They signed him to a lifetime contract, didn't they?
If they don't win some tournament games, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I'd even say next year.
Well, he's going to go old. He's going to have like Chris Wanky on the team next year.
Isn't marriage supposed to be a lifetime contract? There's, you know, stipulations there, too.
Jordan Montgomery gets that one-year deal worth $25 million from the Diamondbacks. Could include a second year at $20 million if Montgomery makes 10 starts. Shohei Ohtani's reps say that they are talking to authorities about their allegations of theft, but will not say which ones.
This was so poorly handled by his side that it's amazing.
Still being poorly handled.
It's unbelievable.
Well, he brings in the lawyers to represent him in the litigation, you could tell immediately they're like, yeah, here's all the things you did wrong.
I'm sure the story will change at least one more time.
Well, the good news is the feds are on it, so we're going to find out a couple things.
Why does Ipe agree to do the 90-minute sit-down if he stole the money?
Why does Ipe agree to do a few things?
No, but like, why?
Because he wanted to get paid for the interview.
Yeah, but could you imagine, though, Ohtani's people walk up to you, if you knew you were stealing the money, why would you, I'll sit down with someone 90 minutes, no big deal.
There are many questions left unanswered.
Dave Roberts did not have many good things to say about Ipe yesterday in a backhanded manner. Did you hear what he said?
Well, I don't know if it was about Ipe. It's more about just that it sounds like Ohtani doesn't really
talk to the people.
Talk to his teammates.
Well, I mean, that's not a glowing reflection of him.
He's
only been around
him
a couple months.
The guy doesn't speak any English. What is he going to say?
Well, he could try. He could try, I guess.
He knows some.
And by the way, how many bookies just have open lines of credit worth $4.5 million?
If it's Ohtani, I mean,
I'm not that deep into the gambling community, but I don't know how many guys are good for that kind of money, just having it out there like that. And finally, Aaron Judge, for the parents out there, will be in Paw Patrol, a spinoff called Rubble and Crew. So you got that to look forward to.
Who's he gonna play himself?
We watched some Rubble and Crew at the house.
Yeah, he's gonna play himself.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We were just talking to John, and he made a great point that he's kind of like what I was saying earlier. Like, he's surprised that the PETA folks aren't really, like, up in arms over Ray and the fact that they gave him this responsibility, and he's just kept the whistle in a locker
for
2 years.
They want the responsibility. I don't know how many times I could tell you this. Am I supposed to run up on the guy driving the horse carriage, blow the whistle in his face, and scream that he said he's abusing the horse?
Well, did Peter Parker want his responsibility?
Thank you.
Did he want it?
With great power comes great responsibility.
Right. I don't think the horse carriage guy is going to kill my uncle. I think it's okay.
You've been chosen.
Yeah, but
man,
that guy didn't wake up to inadvertently kill Uncle Ben. It's just that Uncle Ben got mixed up at the wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, and Peter Parker let him escape.
And God forbid, if that was you, would you blow the whistle?
It's not a thing.
It could be. The whistle is a thing.
It could be
and again,
thing.
And again, what is the blowing of the whistle? What is that accomplishing?
I don't know.
What is that doing?
I've never witnessed a horse crime before. Or foul play on a horse.
Apparently, every time you see the horse carriage in the city, that is a horse crime. Every time you see one.
So maybe what you do, maybe you go down there and you start the whistle and then maybe people join you. Maybe it's to bring people to...
And then yes. What else? Where's the line? Where does it stop? Do I go down to the NYPD stables and I blow the whistle at the officers? No. On the horses now? What do I do?
I wouldn't recommend that.
It's not going to go well for me.
Right. I don't... The future of the horse whistler does not go well if you get down to the... You start doing that. We stick with the horse and the carriages. Like, try to eliminate that.
I'm telling you, this is a movie, because, like, Liam Neeson's been outspoken about this, like the mistreatment of the horses in the city. Like, he could star in the movie and he's the horse whistler.
Who
he's got
are
the
you?
Whistle around his neck.
Yeah, but Raymond doesn't look like Liam Neeson.
I understand that, but most actors that portray real people in movies don't look like them either, especially people that you don't know who they are.
You put some glasses on, like John Leguizamo. That was too penal.
Now you're being a little racist when you say that.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Why?
Because nobody knows the difference.
John Leguizamo's a good-looking guy.
I'm not saying that's got nothing to do with it. But my point is that, like, if it's based on a true story, right, you can embellish all you want. As long as you get Liam Neeson to take the part.
No.
No, he doesn't have to look like Ray.
Yes, if
Liam Neeson is old.
If it's right.
What are you doing?
Raymond, how about Mario Lopez?
Oh, that'd be nice.
Mario Lopez.
He doesn't
age. Wait a sec. If you're hiring Slater to play the horse whistler, this is like a straight to, not even straight to Peacock. This is almost like the Hallmark Channel.
No,
I don't think this story deserves that treatment.
That's about what it deserves.
No, it doesn't. No, this thing,
are you
Ray,
nuts?
This could win Oscars. You could be on the red carpet.
No,
if you play your cards right.
You get Mario Lopez, there's
no, if you get Mario
story.
Lopez, it has no Oscar buzz. None.
Yeah, I think the horse then becomes, that is a secondary storyline. There's some kind of like underlying love
interest. Are we talking about? Are we going to have like a CGI horse now? Like, we're going to make this into like a kid's story?
Again, if the point is to save the horses, yeah, you're probably not going to use a live horse. You probably would need a CGI horse for that type of film.
Maybe Raymond falls in love with the horse.
You're defeating the purpose of the entire program.
I think it goes in a different direction then, because then there's a love interest and there's high sex appeal. We get Dave.
I would be an elite porn director.
And we take it.
I don't like
direction.
Where this is going. I don't appreciate this.
I think
at
there's
all.
A website for that, RJ.
You guys are violating. I don't know which it is. You guys are violating some sort of rule.
Next package
right now.
You get in the mail from PETA is going to have a lot in it, more than a whistle. That's for sure.
A straight to website film.
Yes. You were talking about the movie Clerks before. If you saw Clerks 2, that seems like that's the direction you seem to be headed.
Oh my gosh!
Who says to no? Who says no to Mario Lopez starring in The Horse Whistler as
Me.
Raymond Santiago?
Me. I don't think that's the right casting.
Are you nuts?
You got to go Neeson.
Instant credibility. No, you don't need credibility. The horse didn't go missing. He's not using his skills to go retrieve the
what
horse.
What if it's a series of horses that go missing? And that's why you have
now
the whistle.
Now he's calling up the horse to threaten the horse now.
It almost has like an Ace Ventura pet detective type thing.
I will look for you. I will find you.
Liam Neeson.
And I will kill you.
And I'll blow the whistle.
He's doing Naked Gun right now. He has no time for the horse whistle.
What is
the
that, by
the
way?
Or?
What is? How is he doing the Naked Gun? By the way, does anybody, like, we just gave an original idea. We've already put the plot out there. Somebody could be listening to right now, writing the script for lunch, right? Why are there no more original ideas anymore? They just keep remaking movies.
Because it feels like there's just no more original ideas.
Well, yeah, but why?
We
just gave somebody an original idea about a horse whistler.
I don't know if I want to be associated with it.
No, me either, and plus you just killed it. Liam Neeson is not playing Santiago in a movie.
He lives in the city, for crying out loud.
I don't care.
It could happen.
What about Jason Momoa as Raymond Santiago?
You know what?
He does speak to fish. Now all of a sudden he transitions to the horse.
Well, wait a minute. Was he speaking to the horse in Game of Thrones? Maybe that works.
How about that, Raymond?
I could see that. But he has to almost look like a hobo. You know what I mean? He's like just walking up and down the street. You know what I mean? But he has this kindred connection to the animals.
Like, I'm actually becoming concerned about you now.
Just called Ray a hobo.
No, not Ray. I'm talking about the character in the movie.
You know, who's based on Ray?
No, it's not going to be an exact... Oh, wait. So wait a sec. Time out. So what is he going to be? Producing Knicks and Rangers games at night and saving horses during the day? Is that what we're doing?
Was that stopping you before? Didn't seem like that was an issue before.
That wasn't going to be part of the plot. It's based on true events, but not like down to the minute detail. It's a loose interpretation.
So it's a loose interpretation of Ray dressing like a hobo.
Right. Played by Al Pacino.
He talks to the horses at Central Park during the day, finds out that they're up to no good, and then he comes in contact with a magical whistle.
On this horse carriage, we fight for that edge.
Who are you?
Raymond, say that for me tomorrow. That's perfect for you.
Which one? The Al Pacino?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. The movie is supposed to be based on Raymond. You can't just say he's not a... You can't have him dressed up as a hobo.
It's based on the whistle. That's what it's based on. And he's the one who comes in contact with it.
No, no.
Here's the difference. Dan views the whistle as the star of the film.
Right.
You see how he lights up whenever we talk about the whistle?
Lord of the Rings was about the ring. Right? It was about the ring. Same thing.
Yeah, but this isn't Lord of the Whistle.
No, but Ray's the one who has the burden of the whistle.
Yeah, Hobo Ray is a tertiary character.
He was given this gift. He was given this whistle to put to good use. Power, responsibility.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I think it's got potential. No, it has to be based on Raymond. It can't be based on just the whistle.
But you're making the whistle like basically like no factor at all in this plot.
Well, no, it's the power that Raymond's being given. It's not about the spider that bit Spider-Man. It's about the powers that Spider-Man got from the spider.
So Ray's going to the garden still. To produce. So Jason Momoa's at the garden, sitting next to Don LaGreca and Dave Maloney.
Yes.
This giant guy with long hair that looks like he came out of the Amazon, and he's up there in a suit, and he's got a whistle around his neck, and then all of a sudden Don or Dave is going to turn to Ray and say, hey, where'd you get that whistle? Or what's that whistle about? And what's his answer going to be?
No, he can't tell him. How could he tell him what the whistle's about? He's not going to pull the whistle out.
So he's really doing a good job of hiding the fact that he's a superhero in disguise.
Right. You can't tell that he's a superhero until all of a sudden he hears the call from the horses because he can speak horse. And then that's when the whistle comes out and the glasses are gone. And now he's Mario Lopez.
But what happens if he has to go tend to some horse crime out there in the middle of, let's say, the third period, like last night when there's 7 goals scored and he's still got a postgame show to get through? Is he going to abandon his post to go save a horse?
Yeah, it's the duty. To save the horse. It's when Joe Leo steps up. Or somebody else. Anybody else.
I can't wait to see this movie.
But the way you're going with it, it's not going to happen because your idea stinks.
I'll have an outline with a storyboard by tomorrow morning.
There's a Pee Wee Herman vibe to this. I don't like it.
by tomorrow morning.
Pee Wee Herman starring in The Horse Whistler.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Got 3 stars coming up in just a bit. Boy, that's going to be tough to choose from today.
Yeah, I can tell you what's not going to be a 3-star.
What do you think?
Is your awful casting for this new movie.
You put me in charge and leave it to me.
Yeah,
you're going to have awards, critical acclaim, everything that you can imagine with a project.
Homeless Liam Neeson walking around the city, speaking to horses, is not getting it done.
He doesn't have to be homeless. I'm still toying with that.
He looks like a hobo.
He looks like a hobo, but it doesn't mean he's homeless. It's maybe like how he has to conduct himself. But at the same vein, you said that he's still producing games. So if he's producing games, he's not homeless.
Well, no, that's my idea. I think he still has to have a life outside of being the superhero.
But I don't think he could successfully balance both. Like, it's not a Clark Kent situation. Like, he can't work at the Daily Bugle? Is that where Superman worked?
I think it was the Daily Planet. I mean,
what are we doing?
I don't know.
He cracked himself. He's doing a read. He's cracking himself up.
You're dying in there.
The thought of it, he's cracking himself up. It's unbelievable. Look, now he's Googling stuff. I'm watching him Google things. He's in his mind. He's coming. He thinks this movie's going to happen.
No, I'm going to see where I got that. Oh, Daily Bugle was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I got my superhero newspapers confused.
Right.
By the way, do you remember Mike? We'll get back to this in a second. You know Mike Williams? He's a Jet now, right?
Yep.
Do you think he's going to be ready for week one coming back from that torn ACL injury?
I think he thinks he's going to be ready.
Well, let's hear it. He was on the Adam Schefter podcast.
I should be ready. I will be ready for week one of the season. That's my goal. Everything looking good. Got a meeting with my doctor here next week. So take some more steps, keep building, and, you know, make my way up there.
They're going to be very slow with him in the offseason with OTAs and even, you know, training camp probably. But he'll be ready to rock and roll come September.
I'm
pretty confident,
so.
Right?
Well, that didn't seem very confident.
Well, I mean, he's still only a few months out. That's why. But he'll get there.
All right. Here's a couple things that concern me about this now that we've pivoted to the Jets here. So this is the amount of game. These are important players. I'm going to give you important players that are on this New York Jets team. And if these players stay healthy, we're in good shape. If they don't, we're obviously in big trouble. So this is for the last two seasons, 2022 and 2023.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Okay. 40. He's going to turn 41 in December. Okay. He's played 17 of the last 34 games. So he's got 17 games in 2022. And 4 snaps last season. So 17, he's played 17 of the 34. Mike Williams, 29, he'll be 30 in October. He's played 16 of the last 35 games. Tyron Smith, 33, will be 34 in December. 20 of the last 37 games. AVT, 24, turning 25. He's played 12 of the last 34 games. Chuck Clark, also someone hurt, has played 18 of the last 35 games. Kinlaw, 30 of the last 40 games. Breece Hall, missed an entire 24 of the last 34. Tyrod Taylor also gets hurt. So you're talking about a lot of players that have a lot of health concerns that are going to be crucial to this Jets upcoming season. That's a lot of time spent off the field.
Right.
That we're talking about.
And that's why when we sit here and we talk about what this season could be or can't be for this team, you're going to have to preface everything by saying, if this guy does this, and there's a lot of those guys, and you just run down the laundry list. I mean, it's nice to have depth, but you don't know to what degree you're going to even have to tap into it. But obviously, the one guy that can't get hurt is the quarterback more than anything.
Well, of course, because we already saw what that looks like.
You don't want to run that one back, huh?
No. We do not want to run that one back.
Let's say hi to Dan in Jersey. He's on the line. Let's talk a little Yankees. Hello, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Rick. How are you guys today?
Outstanding, sir. What is going on?
Not much. Rick, you know, we're approaching the one-year anniversary of when I prank called Dave and pranked him.
Yeah, he wasn't a big fan of that prank call when you decided to become Djibouti Dan.
He banned me from the show originally.
Right, because he knew you were, I knew you were messing around, and he didn't, and you got him.
Yeah, because you're smarter than him, much smarter than him.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
I mean, you got into Harvard. Where did he get into?
Right, NYIT. Come on, stop it.
Exactly.
But if you couldn't play hockey, would you have gotten into Harvard?
Would I have gotten to Harvard?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Without hockey?
I was a very good student, but probably not. Doesn't matter, though, does it?
It does a little bit.
No, it doesn't. I still got in.
You're not showing up with a whistle in the admissions office and getting into Harvard.
Maybe if Raymond had his whistle then, he'd have been to Harvard. Could have saved the Boston horses.
Daniel, go ahead.
So speaking of Raymond, I saw Raymond's clap back to James on Twitter. Raymond, that was brutal. My goodness. Before I get into the Yankees. The Yankees, I'm upset to see Jordan Montgomery go somewhere else, and I knew they weren't going to sign him. But to give Jordan Montgomery a one-year contract that I know would have been $50 million, I just feel like they didn't do enough. That rotation is a bunch of question marks. It's a very boomer-bust team. I think the offense will be fine, but I think I'm concerned about the pitching, and I think their bullpen's pretty bad. Look at the way their bullpen – I don't think Luke Weaver, a guy that had a 6 ERA last year, should be in the bullpen. Now, granted, Cashman finds these relievers out of a hat. And my other thing is, why are the Yankees carrying three catchers? That blows my mind. It's beyond stupid. I understand that they have some roster problems right now, but why are you carrying three catchers when you have no backup infielder depth? There's literally not a backup infielder on this team right now, yet they have two backup catchers. It's beyond crazy to me. Have a great day, guys.
That is a good point, Dan. I thank you for the phone call. Like, I didn't even put thought into that. Why do the Yankees have three catchers?
Well, they traded for Rortvedt.
Well,
it was part of that great deal.
It's like Sasquatch. Had. You're never going to see the guy.
Right. I mean, you're putting a lot of faith in that, you know, Austin Wells can get the job done.
Trying to salvage something from that Minnesota trade.
Right, which was a debacle.
Right.
Right now you're worried about who's playing third base because LeMahieu's out and how long this is going to last and can he stay healthy. It's another one. I mean, we talk the same thing with the Jets. It's a lot of ifs, but it's a lot of health-wise ifs. And I think that for me, I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but the biggest concern for me with this team is outside the health stuff is the rotation now without Gerrit Cole.
Yes. It goes without saying, but I still think that if the Yankees hit and put up runs, I mean, like if this is a top offense in baseball this year, it could be enough to still get them to the playoffs, even in that division.
I agree with that, but I also have some, like, I'll tell you what, like, the Rodon thing, like, I'm not going to get into because we don't have time, now we got to get to three stars, but just how his interactions with the Yankees fans as he struggled last year, that's concerning to me.
No, it's a big year for him. Very, very big year for him. All right, like Rick said, time for three stars.
Today's three stars. Number three.
We start with a Rick DiPietro story, and I'm just horrified the fact that you're playing. You're losing so much weight. You're sweating. You're using so much energy. You're looking forward to that nice post-game meal on the plane, and you find the media and all the people who are side-traveling have taken all your food. It's criminal is what it is. And the Islanders did you so many wrongs. That might be the worst of all.
Thank
Rick.
You, Raymond.
That might be the worst of all. Horrifying story. I hope it's been corrected.
Number two.
It sounds like Lou has done that, though. So, Dan, not a retractable roof guy in baseball. You got to play in the rain, and you got to cry in it.
Some oatmeal, maybe some peanut butter and jelly while I wait out the rain.
Why?
Pobrecito. Oh.
That was out of nowhere. But then you deserve the mocking that came after.
And I'm sure little Danny was real productive in those elements.
You're damn right.
Yeah, as he's crying. Like, Mom, I want to quit because I got a stinger.
Very old man of you. I played in the rain, so all baseball players should as
That's
well.
That's right.
Number one.
Yeah, you know, it was going to be... The horse whistler. I don't know how we got here to talking about this whistle that PETA sent me, and now you want to make a superhero that's supposedly played by a hobo.
But he has to almost look like a hobo.
No, I say play by somebody like, you know, Al Pacino.
On this horse carriage, we fight for that inch.
Well, I'll run up, I'll save the horses, and I'll make sure that the horses eat well. What do the horses eat?
The horses eat ore?
No, I don't think they actually eat ore. Listen, I don't anticipate the superhero career coming out of this, but I'll play you the whistle one more time. Protect the horses.
Nice. I love it.
Don't sell yourself short. I think it still has potential. We'll see where this goes. This was a fun one today. Thanks to Ray. Thanks to RJ. Rick, it's time for Rule 76, baby.
No excuses to play like a champion. It's DiPietro Grasso and
Liam Neeson
on 98.7 ESPN.
I'm so jacked up right now. I need to eat this horse poop.
Kind of feel bad for the horse.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.